T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Steelers and Cardinals, Sunday in the desert. Pittsburgh trying to get to 8-5, which would put them in really good playoff position. They occupy the 6th spot right now. They have avoided the loss to a bad team that has plagued them over the years during the Mike Tomlin era. I don't think there's any real trap game with a team that is down to its 4th-string quarterback, though. And Duck Hodges is ready to make another start on Sunday. Our Steelers insider, Ed Bouchette, joins us right now with more on that. So, Ed, what do you think here is going to be the next chapter for Duck Hodges? He's facing the worst defense in the NFL, 32nd against the pass, 31st in points allowed, 32nd in total defense. Do you see the Duck putting up big numbers in the desert this weekend?
No, I don't see him putting up big numbers. I think they'll do what they've been doing, Pony. They let him throw a little deep in the second half last week, and it worked. So they'll have that in their little bag of offensive tricks. But I think for the most part, you'll see them maybe trying to establish the run, throwing some screen passes, throwing some slants. Don't, as Mike Tomlin said so famously, don't let them kill them. He didn't kill us. That's what they want to come out of that game.
Ed, do you get the sense that they want to see him try to develop a little bit, like, not open things up a lot for Hodges, but let him do a little bit more? Or is the die kind of cast, this is what we are, and we're going to see how far this particular style, doing a little bit at quarterback and hoping the defense carries the team, takes them?
Well, Chris, everything evolves. He's young. And the more he does, the more they'll let him try. The more he's successful doing things, the more they'll open things up. And, they'll see some things in practice maybe and put some stuff in for him. I think when you go deep, if James Washington continues to get single covered and you can go deep with him, he's, as we've seen, he's pretty adept at getting those, what they like to call combat or 50-50 catches. He'll come down with it. He's got those strong hands, and I think that's a benefit. So I think they'll try a little more of that. The thing is, he's not going to have Juju again and won't have James Conner, so other than getting Pouncey back, it's the same cast of characters.
Ed, what do you make of this Duck story? You were in a movie about a guy from Philadelphia who, like, was a bartender, came off the street, and ended up playing for the Eagles, right? I mean, this is a Hollywood film sports movie in the making here with him. I mean, is it just a 15 minutes of fame thing with Hodges, or do you think it actually has a little bit of staying power?
Well, it has staying power until and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but until he plays poorly, let's say. And again, I'm not predicting that, but we went through this with Tommy Maddox, Pony. He was the toast of the town. I mean, people were, they were like practically lining up at the hospital when he got hurt in Tennessee. And then when he started going back, they were throwing garbage on his lawn. That's what happens. You go from the top to the bottom, and I don't know that would happen to Duck, but I don't know that he's going to go bad. I don't know that it's good. They would turn on him like that, but that's just a recent example.
To what do you chalk up James Washington's surge these last 5 weeks at? I think the numbers are 20 catches, 417 yards, 3 touchdowns, so he's averaging basically 20 a reception the last month plus. What's clicked for him?
Chris, experience and maturation. We saw this from him. I mean, his first spring, he looked great. His first training camp, he looked great. And then he didn't look so great during last season as a rookie, although he did, I thought, come on a little bit at the end. And he is what they said he was when they drafted him, just what I said. He goes up and he gets those balls. He's maybe not be the fastest guy in the world. He's strong. He runs good routes. He's getting you know, he's developing as a receiver. And I think that's all you're seeing. It's not some light bulb going on. It's a gradual thing.
Ed, no James Conner again. He ruled himself out today. So we're now looking at his last 16 games, in for eight, out for eight, going back to last year. The final three games of last year and now the first 13 games of this year. So availability not good, getting injured. What now do you make of, because I remember last year we talked, you were very high on Conner as the replacement for Le'Veon Bell, but it is a position where the injury rate is very high. So what's now the latest Ed Bouchette opinion on James Conner?
Well, it's a bad time for him personally because it's his third year, and if he was had a season like he had last year, they'd probably want to sign him to an extension before he went into his final year. I don't see that now, Pony. It's no fault of his, but he's had all these injuries, as you mentioned, and they're different kinds of injuries. Ankle, knee, shoulder. You know, it goes back to his Pitt days. When you look at it business-wise, they have to decide, can we count on him? Or these other guys are coming on. Benny Snell, Jalen Samuels is still there. You know, I think they may try and go out and get another one next year if they don't sign Conner. He'll still be with them. Maybe they'll wait a year. I don't know. Le'Veon Bell, I'm trying to remember which year it was. He missed three quarters of the season, I believe, two thirds of the season. I think it may have been his second year. After six games, he got hurt. But other than that, he didn't come down with really major injuries. He did miss the playoffs one year because he was knocked out. But this is just different. You know, he doesn't have the base success that Le'Veon did either. He's had really, he missed three games last year. So he's had three quarters of one season, basically, where he's done something.
Yeah, it was the third year for Bell. In the previous season, he had played the full year and gone for 1,360. He had gone for 2,200 yards from scrimmage, so they knew what they had on their hands at that point, and then he rebounded the next season after that 2015 year. Speaking of third-year offensive players who are having, I would say, a down year and who have been injured, what's going on with the same kind of approach with Juju Smith-Schuster? What do you think the Steelers look at and kind of envision for him in the future?
Well, now he does have a basis. You know, his first 2 years were pretty darn good. His second year was actually great. So he got hurt. He got a knee injury. This is really his first real injury. I'm a little surprised nobody's come up with the specifics of the knee injury, what it is.
You hearing anything, Ed? Anything weird going on there?
I haven't heard. You know, I've been dealing with my own back. I haven't really been investigating, but. The fact he didn't have surgery, it has to be some kind of meniscus or a minor sprain of some sort that, they're letting heal on its own. It's just not healing very fast. What's this going to be? His third game, right?
Yep. Ed, you sensing a change in Mike Tomlin? You seeing anything different? I mean, he's now getting universally praised. He's right in the conversation at the top or near the top for Coach of the Year. What's the difference in Coach Tomlin from your perspective this year, Ed?
Well, there's no difference. Mike Tomlin is the same. It's the perception now of him. You know, he went from a guy who had all this talent and couldn't win a Super Bowl since the last 11 years, to a guy who lost all his talent, including the number one talent, a quarterback, and is going with these guys that never played in the league at quarterback, and he's won six out of seven games. So I think the perception, this is something he's never had. He's always been a front runner. What I mean by that, Steelers have always been a favorite, always been the favorite to win a division, always been among the Super Bowl contenders because of the talent they had, because of Ben Roethlisberger. They were that this year, actually, despite last year. I think they were the maybe fourth team in the AFC in the odds. But they're, you know, they fell down 150-1 or whatever it was. They just keep winning. They're not going to win a Super Bowl, but I wrote the other day, if they make the playoffs, they should have a parade for them downtown.
Ed, I'm sure Mike Tomlin would rather have more talent because, like you just said, it's even as good of a run as they're on, it's almost impossible to imagine them going very far if they do get to the playoffs. Do you think he relishes, though, this kind of coaching job more than the average season where he's got the stars, he's got the expectations?
I think coaches relish winning. I really do. Well, no matter what the circumstances, whether they have the talent, don't have the talent. I'm sure he's getting somewhat satisfaction out of this because, look at the Browns. I mean, they get all that talent and they fold up like a cheap accordion. And here the Steelers just keep winning with, hey, look, they got Duck at quarterback. You know, he may turn into one of the greatest stories of all time. But as you look at him right now, you're going, how are they doing this? And they did it with Mason Rudolph before. You know, they were 5-3 with him. And I think what we're overlooking a lot also here, we're looking at the quarterbacks. That defense is playing pretty damn well. And a shout out to Tomlin also for pulling the trigger. And he had to be the man behind it on the trade for Mason Rudolph. You know, I originally knee-jerk reaction called it dumb. I'm sorry, Minka. When I say Mason Rudolph, Minka Fitzpatrick. I knee-jerk reaction on Twitter called it dumb, but I've come way around on that thing. How could you not? The kid has helped solidify that defense. He was a missing piece. And they had him for quite a while at a good price.
Ed, we're running out of time. We just need a score from you. Is this another one of these West Coast jet lag Steelers games that we see once a year? What do you got?
Well, I think it's different. I think they're going to beat the Cardinals. I picked them to lose the last two games. Shame on me. But I think they'll beat the Cardinals, and I think the story will go on for at least another week or so.
Wow. There you have it. Our Steelers oracle and insider.
He's going to give a score he's actually going to give the score Sunday with me.
Awesome.
That's how it works.
Yeah, Ed Bouchette.
That part of it.
Our Steelers insider. You can text us. Thanks,
Ed. Guys.
Yep.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.